Give me a mountain with lots to do. Give me the sunshine, give me a dew. Give me something simple and true. All I need is sunshine and a cool, refreshing mountain dew. So give me my good hands, give me a dew.
Grab some friends and an ice cold Mountain Dew today.
Mountain Dew.
Go loud. Talking Bollocks, a Go Loud original podcast. Sponsored by Right Style Furniture. Right price, right style, right now. Visit rightstyle.ie.
Go Loud. Sounds better with us.
Are you still sitting on a beanbag and you're sitting in them like you're 17?
Grow up and head to Right Style Furniture. They've got proper, comfy, stylish gear and they're Irish and family run too.
The house packages are class. For just €3,649, you get an electric sofa set, full dining setup, and beds with mattresses. That's a serious bang for your buck.
I got me corner sofa off them, and I haven't stood up since.
They've got locations in Fonthill, Belgard, and now Omni Park, open every day and late on a Thursday and Friday in Fonthill and Omni.
One-stop shop for kitting out the gaff. Don't say we never looked after you.
Exactly. Right price, right style, right now.
Visit www.rightstyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them Terrence and Calvin sent you, and they'll throw a discount on top of that as well. So get down to Right Style Furniture today.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your whip in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and long. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down. Go down. Go down.
What's the story? It's Calvin. I know this is not the usual opening that you're used to in an episode. But we had special circumstances for this week's guest. Aaron Rowe came in. It was a lot of chaos. Aaron actually showed up late. And he's the loudest person that's ever come into this building. Louder than us. So you know things are bad when we're saying that. He also promised to bring his guitar in and he forgot it. In fairness, he had a good excuse. He's at the packing her up because he just finished one tour and he's ready to go on another tour now. He's actually touring with Ed Sheeran. So he gave that as a nice little humble brag. But we said, look, we're in Marconi House. There's about 17 radio stations there. Surely someone has a guitar. So I went off looking and I was like, I'll get you one and come back up. He goes, haha, that's a bass. I was like, what? And Terrence was like, I've never seen more of a guitar in my life. That's a guitar. I did not know there's a difference between a bass and a guitar. I thought you got like bass guitar, but like you just played it deeper or something when you just stood in the back. I don't know. But I didn't know that was an actual instrument in itself. So we then tried to switch her up and get an electric one. And I decided to ask for forgiveness and not for permission and just took it. Made an executive decision to give it to Aaron. That didn't work out, but he has promised us and said he will come back in and sing. He promised us a song, so remember that. All he was out there, hold him to it. But he has a couple of famous friends. He's actually on tour in America now with Ed Sheeran. He's playing with Dermot Kennedy in the Aviva in the summer and he's best mates with Lewis Capaldi. So he'd want to call in a favour for us, but that's where all this chaos is about.
Just a little more.
Is he at the game? He always here. He is for the guitar.
You left hand one now, would you?
You better be ambidextrous.
What's wrong with that?
Is that wrong?
That's a different one.
That's a bass. Yeah, that's not a guitar.
Terrence, what's that?
That's a full-blown guitar.
I've never seen it.
Siobhan, is this recording? Because that's a full-blown guitar in this.
Does that sound like a guitar to you?
You're going to have to go with him.
That's a full-blown guitar.
They all do the same trick to me. There's a few strings on it. Banjos and all. It's all the same thing.
Oh, what's that?
Now, that's a banjo. That's 100% a banjo. That.
He's going to do Johnny B. Goode for us. Like Marty McFly.
So is that a guitar in your hands?
There's another one down
there. That's like to me, on the eye.
If I said to you, pick a guitar out, that's the one you picked. Oh, he went in and I goes, that's an electric guitar. The other one's an acoustic guitar. And he goes, that's a bass. Fuck off. Not having it. And then there's another one. He goes, yeah, this one. And he was like, that's missing a string. It's stored. I'll use this. He's poking her in.
Yeah, he knows where he's down. He's in the game a while.
I'm only getting a free.
Can I hear this for a sec?
Hey, my
Mama.
If we could do that, you'd never stop me doing that.
Hey, Ma. I crossed the sea today. I think it's not going to sound great. I think it's not. Come here. Can I come in and do it again?
Of course you can.
Just, I'll bring me.
Don't worry about it.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm just listening to him.
Yeah.
It's not
gonna be, don't worry about it. No stress.
It's not meant for Marty,
but. Yeah, no stress, bro. Bounce the guitar off the wall. What?
No, don't do that. You can just bounce her off the wall. Don't do that.
No joke. Fuck Dave Moore and his guitars. Yeah. Yeah,
I can't get over that as well.
Yeah, I'll hold that.
Just leave that there for the time being. Yeah,
I would have held that.
I'll come in and do it. I'll 100% come in and do a song.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll have some comedian on. They're like, yeah, sorry for a second. Hey, Arden, come on, yeah. Get that going. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, boys.
No problem. No,
that's all good, bro.
Yeah.
I've seen some fella busking down the end of the road. If he gets back to me, man, at the end of the show.
He's trying to make a few quid out there.
Yeah, yeah. Fell out the losing out on 40 quid. Is that your man you had to put on your story? You text him, did you?
Yeah.
You know him, do you?
Some fella down there busking.
He is. He's on Grand Street. Because I was looking on your story there on the way in. And then your man, Sean or something, was it?
Seamus.
Yeah. He's bus going on Grand Street. The poor fella's going to take an hour out of walk him and shove his guitar.
He's down a one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever busk?
No.
No?
I played in pubs and all that.
Yeah, but you never done what?
I went and done it for like an hour once and I was like, fuck this. Man.
Why?
You're just standing there in the freezing cold, like, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? And you're just like begging people to like fucking like tell you you're good, like, do you know what I mean? I went to just go in and just fucking go into the pubs and. Yeah, I just felt like, because I felt like I was walking into an environment where people were actually looking to see me. I was like,
yeah.
And then, like, you know, you need to have good equipment and all to go busking, because if you're just trying to compete with the traffic on the road, like, you're bollocks, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you ever try and walk down Grafton Street? Oh my God, boys, it's impossible. There's five or six people busking and you can't get through the crowd.
Yeah.
Can't get through the crowd.
It's something about brilliant now, in fairness.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's hard, lad.
Yeah, one is always out there still. What's her name? Ali Sherlock, she's
like a landmark on
Street
now at this stage, isn't she?
Like, surely she doesn't need to be doing that.
She has fucking.
We have Michael Collins and these have Ali Sherlock.
She's like the Luke Kelly statue out there. That's what she's like. But has she not outgrown busking? You know what I mean? Like, she's just beyond bills on fucking festivals and all.
Stop.
What's she doing busking?
I don't know, man.
Yeah, but she's making a few pounds, bro.
She's making a few.
Yeah, you're not making a few bob busking, Daddy.
Oh, yeah, bro. Yeah. There's people coming out of the cracks in the walls for a Scordon Hulk Cup.
How much are you making, Buzz, can tell the truth?
I don't know, man. Look, fucking
give or take. I mean, you're not making enough.
A few hundred quid, I think.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Oh, a few hundred quid a day.
Yeah.
What are you doing in the pub then? Get out on the fucking Grand Street, you mad cunt, yeah?
Because I knew what I was getting. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't going. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like.
Yeah, well, you're guaranteed the money.
Guaranteed the money, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
we got tips as well. Like, so.
Yeah, but it's 100% tips on Grand Street.
And I wasn't freezing me bollocks off here.
Yeah, but you're probably getting. Think how much cash I'm making out there.
That's tax free out there.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. They fucking, they have to make you get a license and all to do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but isn't it door cheap? It's only £50 or something a year. It's very, very cheap. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because everyone's paying with card as well, though. You're not really going to get away with the tax free thing either, are you? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's all you have to declare. You'd be like, everyone tapped their card, didn't make any cash, and then there's fivers all now your pocket and all.
Yeah.
What are you on about?
Are we in? Well, just in then, are we?
What number is it? Making a show of us now. Warden thought we were mad professional before he came in here. We don't even have guitars.
In for the shot.
Yeah. Chances, mate. Chances. You expose us, we'll expose you.
Yeah.
We don't know what it means to see.
He can't even play bass to fill.
Yeah. I can't believe that wasn't a guitar.
Yeah.
I just thought bass was like how you played the guitar.
No,
you know what I mean?
Different types of
guitar. It's like saying he's a footballer and he's a footballer, but like you're a centre back and he's a striker. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, they're totally different instruments. It's like playing a different sport. Do you know what I mean?
Fuck off. The football, the rugby, like.
Yeah, something that's like that, yeah. They're both on grass, but they do different things altogether. You know what I mean?
Oh, you know my head is wrecked over this.
Episode 265 of the Talking Bollocks podcast, brought to you by Go Loud. It's me, Terry Flower.
It's me, COB.
And this week, we're joined by
Arrow.
Arden, what's the crack, pal?
What's going on, mate?
How are you?
Going great, mate.
I have to say, you're probably the noisiest person that's ever walked into this building.
Yeah.
I said to Siobhan, you know he's loud when I go, fuck his leg.
The first thing I said, Terrence went out to get you. Yeah. So I was sitting in here and I didn't know you were in. And then he opened the door and I heard you. I was like, oh my God, he's loud. You know, things are bad.
Need this thing.
Yeah. You know, things are bad. We're saying they're too loud. We're telling people to be quiet.
How's things? How are you keeping?
Well, good, mate. Yeah, good. Fucking done a lot of gigs there last week and bollocks now at the moment, but it's fucking on cloud nine at the same time, you know what I mean?
Says, yeah, big come down after a week of gigs like that.
Yeah, I've had about 3 naps today already. Yeah.
Yeah. So what's the plan then, like, for the rest of the week?
I'm going over to England tomorrow, so I'm going to be there for a month. Going to Brighton, going to start making my album, and then go to America for 5 months. So I'll be over there till November, working on music and being on tour. So, yeah.
5 months?
It's 5 months, yeah. So 6 months altogether I'll be away, yeah.
That's some stint.
Yeah.
Is it normal for you to be away for periods of time like that?
Look, this is all brand new, look, you know what I mean? So this is all started about less than 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And I've been away mostly in London. Been to America a little bit, but I've never been away for that long. You know what I mean? So this is going to be the biggest one.
So you said you're going to Brighton to work on the album. Are you going to be working on the album in America as well?
Yeah. So I'm just getting a start on it, you know what I mean? Getting a start on it this month. And just keep writing throughout.
What part of the States you going to?
The whole lot. Nashville, New York, like LA, Las Vegas, like Milwaukee, like different, like Toronto in Canada, Boston, everywhere. Like the whole lot. Just going to be down every weekend. I'll be flying somewhere else.
And will you be gigging as well? Like,
yeah. So I'm doing Ed Sheeran. I'm supporting him over 5 months on his tour. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just shot her in there.
Yeah. Man, Teddy.
So yeah, doing that. And then I'm going to do a few of my own gigs as well and just make loads of tunes and come back then in November and put my own tour on again. And oh shit, I wasn't meant to say that.
No.
But yeah, now it's grand.
Fucking.
You heard it. It is what it is. Yeah. What?
Exclusive.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm gonna come back, do a few more gigs, and put an album out. Hopefully, you know what I mean. So
you're still new to it all, like you said. There, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I've only got about 6 or 7 songs out. You know what I mean. So
yeah,
it's all brand new.
What's been different for you? Because in the last 2 years, obviously, you've really fucking blown up, and you've been on tours with some bleeding huge names as well. And obviously, our plans there. You've mentioned a few things. I'm sure you're not gonna mention everything, but I just mean, what's the difference between you and someone else that's trying to make it, who's been on it for a couple of years, who can't just get that lift off?
Like, I mean, I think the reason why I struggled to sort of to move on to the next step was because I sort of fell into the trap of playing all the pubs in Dublin and just trying to go out every night and make a wedge, and forgot to actually make my own music. And that was the whole point of actually being an artist, is going and writing tunes and putting them out instead of just, you know, regurgitating covers. And that's what I did for years, because I was, you know, I was making a few, but I was never on the dole, never had a job, like, it was only ever playing songs, like, that was me thing, man, you know what I mean? And I sort of just thought, yeah, if I'm out grafting, you know, all week, well, then I must be doing the right thing. But there's working hard and there's working smart, and obviously I wasn't very smart. Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, but it's like you're sitting on a blaming rocker at the moment. It's like you're blowing up at a fast rate. Like, I'm trying to think now, if you're in that music world, like, what's stopping some people from taking that path, do you think? Because there's so many talented musicians, especially in Ireland as well, that just don't really ever make it.
Or do you think it's a lack of an opportunity?
I think there's a huge lack of opportunity in Ireland, yeah. Like, I went over to London almost 2 years ago, and when you go over there, it's an endless amount of studios, an endless amount of musicians and producers, and that then entices all the artists to go there, so there's so many people to work with. Whereas I got myself into a bit of a rut over, like, the course of 10, 12 years, like, playing all the pubs and sort of fell out with the creative process. But what really helped me get it together was collaborating with people, do you know what I mean? So being over there, it sort of lights a fire underneath you, do you know what I mean? It creates a bit of a fear of, like, the city or something within you that makes you want to, like, do you know what I mean, be doing the same as everyone else.
Yeah.
Whereas you can just, I felt like over here with music, you can kind of get away with not doing as much.
Kind of opening your eyes to the bigger picture kind of thing, is it? Because like London is gigantic. Yeah. Like London's bigger than Ireland, realistically.
It's
like in
8 million people, man. It's 8 million people. It's mad, look. Yeah. It's a country, look. Do you know what I mean? It's huge. There's only a couple of music places in the world that, like, everyone's on it, and it's London, like, it's Nashville, it's LA, do you know what I mean? And it's amazing, just so many musicians, everyone's tuned in over there, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you said there, you're off the back of a week of gigs there as well, and you played the Academy.
Yeah, I don't think I ever, I've been so lucky over the last few few months and over the last 2 years or whatever, but like I never really felt like I'd made it. And people have asked me, like, do you know what I mean? I've been saying, oh, you fucking, you've done it, man. And I never really felt like that until Saturday night there in the academy. And it was just, I had all my family there, man, and everyone I grew up with. It was amazing. It was, if I could fucking bottle that feeling, hold on to it forever, I would, honestly.
Like the main room in the academy in your home Bladen town.
Yeah, it was mad.
Yeah, it is a big deal.
I was saying to you there as well, but before we started, like, I've been to so many gigs and I don't know what it was about that felt so special or something. It was like every single person, it was like a cult in a sense. Every single person in that room knew every single word to every single song, and I could hear people telling each other the meanings of the songs. So I could hear someone on me right saying, so that's PJ and he's a man of the song and he's off the drink, and you know, it was a mad feeling. There was many times as well when you'd be mid singing, then you'd stop and let the crowd sing, and oh my god, it was magic.
It was deadly, man. It's just Dublin for you, man, you know, they turn up for their own, you know, so it was special for me and the family, you know.
Hard to put into words.
What do you say, like? I remember after playing the intro and then, you know, we took a little break and we were going to get, like, a few claps going or something, like, you know, a bit like interacting with the crowd, but they just start screaming, man, and like... I took out my ears for a minute and the whole room was fucking shaking, man. And I was going, looking at the band going, what the fuck is going on here? And they were like, right, shut the fuck up. I want to get in and do the rest of the song. You know what I mean? Yeah. But it was something else.
It was amazing. Now we got a few threats out there as well. People are coming up going,
what?
You better get him on.
Yeah, no way. Yeah.
I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, we'll sort the one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not messing. Get him on that podcast. I was like, oh, he's on Tuesday,
Yeah. Terrence ranting, telling everyone. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one thing we never do, is never tell someone who's going to be coming on. Do you know what I mean?
Because,
like, that was Saturday, you'll be booked in for the Tuesday. Something could have came up on the Sunday. Or the last time, you're supposed to be on a few weeks ago and something come up and we had to pull the last minute. And the last thing I want to be doing is telling people, this person's on, and then they check on Bladen, Spotify and Thursday and it's someone else.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's the story? So I think it's like a superstitious thing. I don't tell anybody.
You're dead right though, because that sort of shit happens all the time. Like, you know,
So if I had been there, I would have been winding people up. I'd be like, I'll see if he's any good tonight.
Let
him come on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Show me what you got, kid.
This is audition.
This is make or break.
What you pay for the tickets? Doesn't matter. Never mind, you got the tickets.
Yeah. Well, Arden, what we do with every guest, tell us, where are you from? What was life like growing up for you?
I'm from Dunleary, from a place called Monkstown Farm, just about 10 minutes outside Dunleary. Grew up in a working class background, council estate, you know, fucking didn't have a whole lot growing up. Obviously being from South Dublin, you know, you may live in a council estate, but you're in a council estate surrounded by a lot of posh fucking houses and all that sort of shit. My mum really wanted me to go to an Irish speaking school, like, you know what I mean? And so I ended up going to one, which was about 25 minutes away in Booterstown, and there was, you know, a lot of posh kids and all that I would have went to school with and that, you know what I mean? So sort of had a mixed bag of mates growing up, and I was into a lot of boxing and all growing up and doing a lot of kickboxing and that. And when I was about 16, I started playing guitar. And since then, I've been that's been my whole life. It's been my job pretty much.
It was that late in life when you started playing guitar?
Yeah, 100%. Like, you know, look, when you grow up in an area like that, man, there's a bit of a fear, like, walking around with a fucking guitar on your back, man, and going, everyone's going to call you a got or something, man. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, and so, I was like, yeah, I'll stick to the boxing, like, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean?
Now, that sounds true.
Do you know what I mean?
The word got is...
We would have definitely called you that. I swear to God. Do you know what I mean?
Remember, we were talking about this recently. I was like, I regret not playing an instrument growing up, because people playing instruments now are cool. But growing up, you're coming in for a game of Bladen 5-a-side, I have to do a guitar lesson. You would have.
They never would have knocked for you again.
They never knocking for you again. That's it. You're blacklisted. Do you know who was like that? You know Ian Malone?
Yeah.
We had Ian Malone on the podcast. And we used to call him a hippie because he played the guitar. He's as rough as us.
Yeah.
But he's a hippie because he plays the guitar.
Oh, stop.
No, but that's I just haven't heard the word got in years. I'm not sure. But how come so late? And like, usually you hear like people start playing guitar early and like, you know what I mean? But
yeah, it was just that thing. It was just that fear, man. I always was into music and I was always into singing. And when I went to these Irish schools, man, and I was in school with posh our friends. Who I wasn't really afraid of, like, do you know what I mean? Like, where I was terrified of the boys back home, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so when the communions and all were on, I was straight up, do you know what I mean? I was doing all that shit. But if any of the boys ever had seen any of that, man, I'd have never lived it down, like, do you know what I mean? So as far as everyone knew back then, I was only into boxing, do you know what I mean?
So what, like, you're singing in school and stuff, eh?
Yeah, and I remember being so fucking insecure about the whole thing. I used to keep the two friend groups separate because I couldn't let... Like, do you know when you're a kid, you can't be, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if either side found out, do you know what I mean? Like,
Well, you're into music from young, though, yeah?
Yeah, I was always into sort of singing, always sort of making tunes up, like, kind of in the back of the car, and, you know. But it was just one of those things that it took until I was about 16, and I remember picking up guitar for the first time, and it was a few months went by, and I was like, still weren't telling anyone that you were playing the guitar. And it was one day I was just walking up the road, and I had a guitar in my back for some reason, and it was late at night, and two of the boys like, who I hung around with, were like, oh, there you are. They're like, is that guitar in your back? Like, do you know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, it's a guitar, yeah. And they're like, do you play guitar and all? I was like, yeah, started playing guitar. And they were like, play us a tune there. I was like, no, I'm out there to play a fucking song. Like, do you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? I'm getting bullied into playing a tune on the side of the wall here, man. And next thing, like, I remember it finished and I was just waiting on them to be just in stitches laughing at me, what they were actually saying about it. And I was like, right, I might as well keep going with this thing.
You are talented anyways. Yeah. They would have told you.
Yeah, they'd have told you of it, man.
Gosh, yeah. So, was it in the family or not? No?
No, nothing like that, no. No one. My dad was mad into the kickboxing, so he put me into that very young, and then eventually went in and done the boxing as well. So that was, it was no music at all. It was just licked it up off the ground.
So what's your inspirations? What are you listening to growing up? Have you got an ear for it? Because I do see when like musicians come into us, because I like to think that like I'm into music, but then when you talk to a musician, you're like, fucking hell. They're an expert. So like, you hear the key he's playing there in. I was like, what do you mean the key? I thought that was just the piano. You know what I mean? I didn't like, you're not listening to that sort of stuff.
Like, honestly, I wasn't even, I wasn't really a big listener of music. Like, we sort of had two CDs in the gaff, and that was it. Like, you know,
one of them was David Gray,
one of them was David Gray. Yeah, we were all David Gray, man. You know, Norah Jones, like, you know what I mean? So that was that. And, like, when I was younger, we were going to raves and all, we were fucking 14, 15, we were listening to fucking Tony DeVitt and all the hard house music, and, do you know what I mean? Just fucking, yeah, it was never really had a musical brain until I started playing it. And then I sort of got into it and got into, like, soul music and all that, and eventually got into the Irish music. And so it's sort of been a journey.
Yeah, because you have got that big, deep soul voice.
Yeah, like,
that's where it is.
I definitely wanted to sound like that. Like, that's, I think, when I started off, that was what I sort of emulated. And I was mad into like Sam Cooke and Aretha Franklin, and I was mad into like Stevie Wonder and like loads of Motown and all that sort of crack.
The good stuff, yeah.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? And obviously the Irish music sort of shied away from it as well, because it was one of those things you're like, oh, look, it's a bit cringy. Like, do you know when you're younger, like, you don't have the same appreciation for it. But it was when I started kind of playing them, because people were asking for them in the pubs, that's when I started to hear them in a different way, and I just fell in love with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, at 16 then, you kind of, you broke the news to your mates that you played the guitar. When do you be like, right, I'm actually fucking good at this?
I mean, that summer, I just became obsessed and I was playing it every single day. And I remember going back into school then, in fifth year or something, and the teachers are all talking about, like, what are you going to do in college? And all. I said, I'm not going to college, you know what I mean? I'm going to go and do music. And they're like, what are you on about? Like, do you know what I mean? You're playing guitar about 3 months. And I'm going, I'm telling you now. Yeah. I remember even some of the teachers being like, you know, that doesn't really work out for people, man. You know what I mean? Like, and you want to do something that, like, you want to do something to fall back on. And maybe they were right, but, like, back then I was like, I don't know, man. If you have a plan B, you're fucked. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I
so
like that. Put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah. 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 Let the arse fall out, baby.
Fall, Jeff. Let's go up to Tesco. In the floor, you know what I mean?
Go in your own arse.
Yeah,
you know,
fucking right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Fucking plan B.
Yeah. And the arse did fall out a few times.
Yeah. But what, so, was there never any idea going to college or anything like that, another job, anything?
No, nothing like that. And I remember there was this college called BIM. There was like a degree sort of type of thing. It's over in the Liberties there, and it's like a modern music sort of school. And I didn't have any. I didn't get any points. We done shit me leaving cert. Like, do you know what I mean? I didn't more or less failed nearly everything. Like, do you know what I mean? And there was this like part time course that I done over there just to keep me mad fucking happy. Went in for an hour. Or a couple of hours, like once a week, do you know what I mean? And then that was it. And then I done well in that, and they gave me they said, well, you can just go straight into the second year of the degree if you want to. So I went in there for like a week or two, and I was like, I can't do this. I was just obsessed with playing the gigs, and all. It was just all my time was taken up playing in pubs. You know what I mean? I was in my head, I was like, I'm already working, sure. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's what happened.
What was your first gig? How did that come about? And how'd you break the news to your man that you're like, hell, I'm a musician now?
Like, I think my ma always sort of expected it, like, do you know what I mean? She was always sort of waiting on me to kind of say, like, you know, because she always saw that I had a huge interest in music. I don't really remember having a conversation with my dad. It was just one day I wasn't playing guitar, the next I was, do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But I remember the first gig I ever played was, like, I was opening up before like a DJ at a rave, like, you know what I mean? Like, and it was like an Easter bank holiday, and it was nuts, man. It was just everyone from the area, like, you know what I mean? There was a fella put through the window and all that, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it was mad, like, do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like a proper setup, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
it looked a bit odd, didn't it?
Yeah, like, you know, it was fucking just.
Everyone double dropping out in a belt, there's only an hour.
Do you know what I mean? I'm going, I just take what I can get. You get back down when you're younger, you just do whatever you can. Like, do you know what I mean? If you're playing at a charity event or a fucking boxing event, or if you're doing a funeral or a wedding or whatever, like, you just do whatever you can. Like,
and
you
did Anton back then?
Anton. I would have played for free. I got money wherever I could. Like, you know what I mean? I literally was out every single night playing. Every single night. I only would have got like 30 or 40 quid, like, you know, for jumping on before a band. Well, they were getting their actual fee, and then they just let me do a few tunes just because I was a young lad, and go, here, look, there's a few bob for you, you know what I mean? Get yourself a pint or something, you know what I mean?
Mm.
But as sort of time went by, eventually started getting my own regular gigs, and yeah, it was making all right money. Like, not like, it was just enough for a young lad to get by, like, you know what I mean? Like, and then, you know, 12 years later, then I was still doing it, you know what I mean?
That's some stint when you think about it, isn't it? Like,
I was going to say, they're doing all right. Like,
yeah, but like, I mean, 12 years on the pub scene for young lad.
I was 14 years ago. Like, I was 16 and it was 28 just until I was still doing all that. You know what I mean? I'm 30 now.
Yeah, like all your 20s in the pub scene, that is rough.
The whole, every, like, yeah, like, probably saw about 10 different rooms over 10 years. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, just doing the same thing again and again and again.
Yeah, but where you cut your teeth. What was your favourite song to cover?
Change is gonna come. Sam Cooke. You like Sam? Did you ever hear Sam Cooke? I was born by the river.
Later.
Yeah, yeah, all that sort of stuff. Like, and then got mad into like Luke Kelly as well. Loved doing like Raglan Road and Dublin the Rare all times. All that sort of crack, you know.
Yeah. Is that what you were kind of saying earlier on? Then you were getting caught up just staying in the pub scene, just getting your fuel bob and just taking over, and you weren't really writing. Is that
exactly? Yeah, because I was sort of burning myself out, like, musically, like, because my guitar was just like. I was going out, like a guitar or two guitars and speakers and all in my car, and then I come home, and the last thing you want to do after playing all day and all night is pick out your guitar and write a tune, like, you know what I mean? So yeah, I sort of burnt myself out, and it was more of a job than it was like a passion. Do you know what I mean? So that was the big issue with it, and you know, it only really turned around when I sacked all them gigs off. I was doing an open mic every Wednesday in town. I was going in there for years playing the same four tunes that I'd written. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, wasn't doing anything new, and then eventually that went on for so long that I just stopped altogether. You know what I mean? I was like, I'll just keep on trying to make a few bob and try to.
Was that a conscious decision then to go to wipe the pub scene and get creative?
Yeah, look, I was finished with it. I knew for a fact that I didn't want to spend the rest of my life singing Country Roads and Sweet Caroline, and do you know what I mean? I didn't want to be like a jukebox, you know what I mean? Yeah. If I was going to do something in my life, I wanted to have a bit of meaning, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And even though it was great, but like, it wasn't doing anything for me, man. So, I needed to sack that off and just focus on the artistic side of it, like, do you know what I mean?
So yeah. What did you do then? You just said, I'm not gigging anymore, I'm going 100% of the writing.
It was all mad the way it happened. So when I'm having all these thoughts, I'm thinking about getting a trade or something. I'm thinking I'm going to do whatever, like, do you know what I mean? And it was just after Christmas, and I'm playing in a damn tavern, and there's this fella there, standing there, like, staring at me, and like, in a way that's sort of like another guitar player, like, stare at you or something, like, and I go, what the fuck does this lad want? Like, do you know what I mean? You look at you. Yeah. But he came up to me, he's this American fella, and he goes, hey man, you got any original music around? And I'm like, yeah, one or two, bro. So I end up playing a few tunes, because it was just after Christmas, the pubs were empty, it was grand. I'll just play a few of my own tunes here, and then this fella told me that he'd worked in music kind of a little bit a few years ago, and he's like, can I give you a hand putting out some tunes or something, like, do you know what I mean? And I was like, do you know what, fuck it, like. So ended up getting on with this fella, and he was sort of managing me but not officially, like, it was sort of just testing the water with each other, and he knew that, like, I needed to get in and make some tunes, and the fastest way to do that was by collaborating with, like, musicians and producers and different writers and all that sort of stuff. So he ended up, like, cold calling loads of, like, labels and all this sort of stuff, and just sending in the rough demos that I had, and got picked up by, like, this label in Copenhagen. So I went over there for, like, a 4 days or something, wrote some tunes. That was my first kind of experience with any sort of collaboration and that. And then obviously him being from America, knew people in Nashville, so we went, like, halves on, like, a plane fare and all that to get over to Nashville for, like, 10 days and go and write some tunes over there and that. And I have to go backwards actually for a minute, because in the meantime, in between going to Copenhagen and going to Nashville, I'm playing in Cassidy's up on Camden Street, and I'm just finished playing after like 2 or 3 hours on a Sunday, and I'm at the plane, like, apple of my eye or something, like, you know what I mean? And I'm about to just finish in the night, and then the manager comes up to me, he goes, Lewis Capaldi's coming here tonight, he's on the way. And I was like, yeah, but I'm at the, like, playing everything, bro. Do you know what I mean? I'm playing all my best tunes, bro. Do you know what I mean? And he's like, will you just play, look, I'll try you a few Bob? And I was like, yeah, grand, yeah. So I played it. And
yeah, that old chestnut, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
I'll give you a few quid or I'll get the car back out.
And so he was on a stag party or whatever, and I ended up playing the gig. But just said hello, like, that. What's the story, bro? How are you doing? Like, you know what I mean?
Playing the kills.
Yeah, whatever. And then went home. So anyway, I'm going to Nashville then a few weeks later, and I'm just working with a lot of people over there, and I think there's music being sent around there, because it's such a tight-knit community over there as well, yeah. Like, you know, with music. And the night before I went home, went to this pub, and I'm standing at the bar, and lo and behold, Lewis is standing beside me again, man, in the pub, like. And I remember James saying to me, he goes, you want me to introduce you? And I was like, don't be doing that to me, like, do you know what I mean? I'm sure everyone wants to come and say hello to the chap, like, do you know what I mean? But he ended up standing right there beside me at the bar, and I said, ah, fuck it. And I tapped him on the shoulder. I said, hey, bro, listen, I don't want any pictures off you or anything like that, you know? But I was like, but you remember 4 or 5 weeks ago in Cassidy's in Dublin? And he just went, what the fuck are you doing here? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, as if I was following her somewhere. And I was telling him, I was writing tunes and all, and then we just ended up fucking having a buzz together, man. And he introduced me to his mate, Connor, who is also a manager, do you know what I mean? And he is artist and all before that, and him and James hit it off, and now they have a company together. And since then, I've just been fucking just blessed, man. You know what I mean? It's just been, it was mad. It was like it fell on top of me, man. You know what I mean? Was just lucky.
It's a mad story, that. Yeah. Like, what are the chances?
What are the chances, man? Yeah. I couldn't even write it when it was happening. All I was thinking, am I going mad here or something? Like, you know what I mean? Freaking out, man.
But that's what we were saying at the start, when it's like you are right. There's heaps of talent in Ireland, heaps. Mm-hmm. But they're lacking the opportunity, and your opportunity came because that fella happened to be in the pub that night.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, don't know what you'd call the fact that you bump into Lewis Capaldi twice on both sides of the planet. Like, that's, I don't know what you'd want to call that now, that might be fate, but
yeah,
that's what it is. It's that It's one thing saying, oh, look, you got an opportunity. But yeah, but you have to fucking take it as well, Arden, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And I think like, to be lucky, it's also preparation meets opportunity. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? It's not just, you know.
No one just went up and goes, yeah, here's a deal for you.
Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden, you know how to play the guitar and all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You cut your teeth, like.
100%, yeah.
And you've done the hard yards, mate.
Yeah. And obviously now you and him are friends. So you went on tour with him, yeah?
Yeah, I've done two tours. I done the UK and Ireland with him. And then went over to Australia with him then, like November, December. But yeah, he's been unbelievable. Changed my whole life, man. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's fucking nuts.
Comes across as a down-to-earth fella.
Yeah, he's funny. He's like us, man. Mm. You know what I mean? The Scottish as well, they're just like us, man.
Yeah.
They're just wind-up merchants, you know what I mean?
And, yeah.
So we all get on, like, you know what I mean? And all the mates we have over there are just Irish lads. And then Lewis, the Scottish fella, like, do you know what I mean? Like, do you know what I mean? We're all cut the same cloth. I go to Glasgow and everyone's at the same buzz. It's like walking around Dublin, man.
Yeah. Just a little
talk to us about that difference. So you were playing in pubs for years and then you're going on tour with Lewis Capaldi.
Yeah.
What's that kind of like?
Fucking mad, like, even just getting in with a band and all for the first time. I had to relearn everything, like, you know what I mean? And I had to, like, obviously I was focusing on my songwriting and I had to think about, you know, I had to just think about my set list in a whole different way. We was doing shorter sets, in fairness, because, like, you know, I remember doing, like, a 7-hour gig and all in town and doing, like, mental hours, do you know what I mean? Playing, like, just non-stop. So to go from that to just jump up for half an hour or something was grand. Like, do you know what I mean? I felt like it definitely served me doing all those years, you know, going out. Like, I remember getting nervous a couple of times for gigs and I still do get nervous for a few things, but I think most of the time I felt confident because I knew I'd done it before, you know what I mean? Even if it wasn't to the same size realm, in a way it was actually a little bit easier because there was someone else doing me sound and all this time. I like in ears, whereas before I was just sort of like playing the guitar, listening to the speaker and like saying, is that all right? You know what I mean? You'd see everyone leaving and you go, yeah, it obviously wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, it's been just nuts.
Yeah. In fairness, it'll work out better for you because you said you're playing 7 hours, but now you're giving your best half an hour.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you're condensing down, so you're getting the best version of Arden. So you would have opened for him the Trey Arena.
Yeah.
What's that like?
Fucking nuts, look. Especially being, look, I don't know, look. It's just fucking mad. It's hard to wrap your head around it sometimes. Sometimes you come off and everyone's like, what's that like, man? And you're like, don't know, man. You know what I mean?
You're not taking her in.
Trying to, but like,
how's your confidence?
How do you put, like, do you know what I mean? It's, I just have to be grateful and that's all, man. I mean, I don't really know what else to say.
There's only so many words you can use to say something was great as well.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was good. I had a good night.
Yeah.
People want you to go on this spiel about this hour.
Yeah.
Experience. You're just like no, it was mad and it was good, but yeah. What would you prefer? Would you prefer playing in a big arena like that or a smaller room?
I don't know, man, like, you know, because I've never, like, I mean, well, in fairness, I have played a few big gigs, but, like, yeah, they're all different, they're all very different. Like, when I was doing, like, the arenas, especially when I went to Australia with them, I was the main support on, so it was on late enough at night, and there was so many people there, and that was, like, a first time seeing so many, like, people and, like, lights and all that crack, and it was, and the noise of them was mental. But, you know, when you go into somewhere like the Academy the other night and you're seeing the whites out of everyone's eyes, you know what I mean? You can see people down the back and you're like, you know, you can feel everyone's a bit sweaty and all, and there's a bit of a buzz in the realm, like, you know, I just love being on stage, man, you know what I mean? There's nothing else that I'd ever want to do, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah. It's like, when I think about you, like, you're saying, yeah, so new to it in terms of 2 years, but you're not really. You've been around a long time playing. If you're at the doing this in 2 years, what does the next 5 years even look like? Do you even think that far ahead now?
No, I'm just enjoying it, man. I'm just really focusing on putting my best foot forward, writing the best tunes that I can, being as honest as I can in the songs, and, you know, making the gigs better and better. And just hopefully I can continue to do this for the rest of my life. Honestly, I don't know if I can get any happier. You know what I mean? Like, there's far better musicians out there than me that, you know, that aren't getting half the opportunities, you know what I mean? So I just have to fucking
you know, stay. I just have to remember that, you know, I'm very lucky to be doing this. So, you know, don't want to fucking put the mockers on myself, right? You know what I mean?
Good humble way of looking at you.
When you were on the pub scene, how many songs had you written?
Like 50 or something.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
And how many had you released it?
Zero.
So you never released a song, no?
No, no, I remember putting out a song like a few years ago and then just took it down straight away.
Why?
Just didn't really believe myself that much, man. You know what I mean? I was just afraid of fucking failure. You know what I mean? And I was chasing sort of perfection, like, you know what I mean, as a young lad, and thought that, you know, one day the stars would align, you know what I mean? But, like, really, what it takes is just going for it sometimes and be willing to fucking be shit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
in order to figure it out that way, instead of just trying to get it right the first time around, you know what I mean?
So every song you've released, and you've released in the last 2 years as well, then?
Yeah.
In the last 2 years?
Less, yeah.
That's crazy to think about.
There's only six or seven out now, you know what I mean? I was doing, I've done an EP and two singles, and I want to, that's why I need to get an album out now, because I'm sick of doing drips and drabs.
I can't get my head around the difference between an EP, an LP, and an album. Do you know what I mean? It's just like
an album takes longer, like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, but is it not just like a big group of songs you're putting them out?
Yeah, but like for instance, I could write 100 songs and I might use one of them. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're most of the time you're just banging your head off the wall, and even when you think you've written a good song, a week later you're going, that's dirt.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Literally all the songs I write are dirt, like, do you know what I mean? And every now and again you get something that's half decent.
Can you not just release them all? Like, let's say if you wanted to.
Songs, there's an album.
Yeah. No, because they'd be shite, man. You know what I mean? Like,
no, the seven that you have out now, say, if you had to put them together and just whatever, this is my debut album now, seven of them songs.
Well, I was writing them on the floor. I should have answered that question a bit better, but all the old songs that I had years ago, people do ask me to play them at gigs and all now, but I sort of want, like, for me, I felt like I needed to bury that side of me. Look, you know, I needed to bury all those songs. I needed to put pressure on myself in order to write a lot of new tunes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I only want to put out shit now that feels fresh.
Yeah. So you've evolved now. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I don't want to be scraping the end of a barrel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to fucking start from now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So that's your motivation then.
That's my motivation.
See, even if you're saying there, like, I could write a song and next week I could hate it. So how do you decide what song you want to release then? Because you've released obviously some very big songs now. So how do you decide? I'm gonna keep liking this song, and this will be the one.
I think, obviously you're making songs the whole time, and you know, a lot of times you walk away and go, that was good, but then as the weeks go on, you'll start to find problems with it or whatever, or you'll keep enjoying it, you know what I mean? So you do sit on them for a while, like, you know what I mean? You could sit on them for a month, or for months, you could sit on them for a year, do you know what I mean? Like, there is a couple of songs I played there the other night that I would have written a year ago and then forgot about them, and I went back to them and said, jeez, that's actually not bad. And that's usually a good sign, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
If you can go away and have fresh ears on something, you know what I mean? But I tend to like write things and then just like pack them off, try not to think about them for a few months or whatever, you know what I mean, and then come back to them, play them with the band if they feel good, you know, test them out in a few different places. But yeah, it's a lot of you're just writing the whole time and you're mostly binning everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that is infuriating.
Yeah. No, I wish you could say you just only write bangers, but I don't. Yeah. I actually almost only write shit songs.
Sitting on songs and all that, I'm just annoyed. That'd be like me and Calvin recording this.
Yeah.
And just leaving.
I'm just going, do you know what? We'd see annoying months when I went into it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is shit, mate.
Better playing Coachella next year. I'm like, we've done an episode with him, I'm putting it out.
That's him, me over the edge. No, I'm not messing with you. What's been your favourite song that you've put out?
I feel a bit stupid when I say this because it's probably the obvious one, but I love Hey Ma. I just think it was
your breakout.
It was the first one, and I feel like it was the easiest, one of the easiest ones to write, because I had this plan. Like, to have a song like that, because I wanted to get rid of all them old songs, and I wanted to go, right, if I was starting fresh and no one knew anything about me, what would I say in a song? And that song wrote itself, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was, didn't need to sit on that one, you know what I mean? And I still love playing, and I still, you know, I still look forward to it every night, you know?
What's the motivation behind it?
It had a lot to do with like the guilt of moving away, because you know I have family at home. Like obviously I was living in my ma's, was paying rent there. My uncle was living up the road. He's 80, sort of getting on, and sort of felt like, you know, when I was moving away to London, I felt a bit guilty about having to go over there. I also wanted to wanted to tell people, you know, who I was, where I was from. I wanted to tell them about, you know, the people that I grew up with, and you know, it was like turning a page in a book, man. You know what I mean? And I just wanted to get that across, you know. Mm. And obviously, everyone always asks, "Is that a lovely song you wrote for your ma?" Like, but I didn't write about me ma. It's more so to me ma, but me ma's more like the personification of home.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah. Like so. Yeah. So, it was. I still love playing it to this day. You know what I mean?
It got some reception the other night, didn't it?
Oh,
the
stop.
The fucking roof nearly come off the academy.
I nearly fell off the stage. I jumped on a speaker at the end. Yeah, nearly went for a hop, man.
That's why I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
Nailing the old kid. Fucking hell.
Oh,
nah, that got some reception the other night as well. That was another one where you literally didn't even have to say a word there.
Yeah.
You could have just played that guitar and ran a muck for you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
But I mean all the songs I put out, I loved them. I loved the last one I put out as well. I wrote that about me sort of family and sort of family history and all that sort of crack, you know. And it was good to like delve into that and find things out that I didn't know beforehand, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you a bit of a historian now?
No, like me cousin is like he's mad into all that sort of crack. We me ma's side of the family all have roots in the inner city, like, you know, like in Jacquard, Dorset Street, and you know, as far back as we can tell, they always lived there. Do you know what I mean? And we found two relatives. Me great grandfather, who was born in 1907, had two siblings who, at the time of the Rising, there was a girl and a boy. The girl was, you know, part of coming to Mons, so she would have fought in the Rising, and you know, she would have done a few jobs during the Rising or whatever, and she fought in the Civil War. She was locked up at Gamenham Jail, you know. She was like an enemy of the state, changed her name multiple times over her lifetime and all that crack, like, you know what I mean. And then her brother was joined the British Army and went and died on the Somme. And we found all the, like, well, Damo, my cousin, he found all these letters that your man had written home to his ma while he was down training in Cork, and we got to read all them letters, and it was mad, man. It was just nuts, and it was just fucking,
This is John's song, isn't it?
Yeah, I just felt inclined it was a song that I've been meaning to write for a few years, and when I just finally decided to do it, I jumped on the phone with Damo, and he sent me all the letters and found a picture of him and all, and found the senses, like, of all the family and all that, like, that were living in the house at the time and that, and found like the marriage record of his ma and dad and all, and it was just nuts. All the will that he wrote to his ma was fucking like pages and pages of this shit, like, you know what I mean? And it was like stepping back in time, like, it's just deadly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Seen the 1926 census only come out the other day. Did you see that?
No.
People were going into it. I'd love to actually do that. Go through all of that, you know what I mean?
It's cool, man. Like, it's actually fairly easily done as well. Yeah. Like, I was using ChatGPT and all to go through shit, like, you know what I mean? To put things together and like read fucking like handwriting that I couldn't make out and all, do you know what I mean? Like, it's fucking interesting, man. And like, as you said, that the 1926 thing came out and he's gone off the list. You know what I mean?
Obviously, so he was dead by then?
He died with 5 or 6 weeks after.
Oh yeah, obviously
France.
He's dead in the Somme. Yeah.
He was dead. So it was mad. Like, they were like, he's gone. You know what I mean? And his sister changed her name and all, I think, by then. You know what I mean? A few times.
Yeah.
Mad.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's Dublin though, isn't it? Like, it's just fucking amazing history. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You had a gig in London the other night. There was someone else big at it. You had another friend. Another heavy hitting friend in the music industry.
Yeah, there was a few heads in there that night. A good friend of mine, Sam Fenner, and Dermot Kennedy, they were in, and Bradley Simpson was in as well. The Vamps, there was great reception, man, and all my mates who I've sort of made since I went over there. And you know, it was nuts. All my family and all came over as well, and London had sort of become a second home to me over the last while, so it was lovely to, I sort of wrote him about moving to London, you know what I mean? So it was lovely.
I forgot to say it as well. You brought PJ up on the station.
Yeah.
I know, he thought that this was planned.
No, he's just, I didn't even know he was going to be there, man.
Yeah.
I didn't even know he was going to be there. Like, PJ is like a fella just from around the area. It was, you know, and he was started, you know what I mean? He was always on the drink or whatever. Like, you know, standing outside the shops shouting at us or something, you know what I mean? And then he got off the drink, you know what I mean? Like, and it was amazing. Like, everyone was like, it was still, like, you know what I mean? Everyone was like, what the fuck, man? Like, and that was all when I was going away. I was like, what the fuck going on at all, man? You know what I mean? It was like fucking, like, do you know if pigs fly, like when pigs fly type of thing, like, do you know what I mean? Like that sort of buzz, like, do you know what I mean? And yeah, man. And then one of the boys brought him into the gig and I didn't know that. My mum was saying, PJ's here. I was like, fuck off. Fuck off, man. And so I knew he was in the crowd, and when I was about to finish, I was like, where's PJ? And everyone was going, what? And he was at the back of the room, and one of the boys brought him up through the crowd, and he got on stage, and I came to the mic, and I don't even know what he said, man. You know what I mean?
I couldn't make it.
I don't even know what he said, but I think he's been buzzing ever since. He's like a fucking
local celebrity,
subcultural fucking icon now. Do you know what I mean? The next Che Guevara or something. Do you know what I mean?
This guy saying to me, what I thought was like a plan team to get PJ up. And
no.
Said, no, I just heard he was in the crowd.
Yeah. It was funny.
Cracker.
Isn't it?
Because I think everybody there thought it was planned.
No. No, it was just random, man. I just said, fuck, I'm going to get him up.
That's it.
Do you know what I mean? And even though I'm playing the band, or about to get into it, do you know what I mean? And then it all stops, and it was fucking fair play to him for actually getting up, and then all my family and all got up on stage as well, which was nice, you know what I mean?
Deadly, that was nice.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, PJ dived onto the stage.
Yeah. He was straight up.
Part of fun,
I think. Yeah,
you didn't have to ask him.
Coke Zero in the hand, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Stop. What? See you after the gig. Did you go out after that, or did you?
I went over to the Storyteller for like an hour or two. That was it, and I met all the family and all that crack and said hello to everyone who I didn't really get a chance to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I was up to Belfast then the next morning.
The gig and all the next day, didn't you?
Yeah, so I went up to Belfast then the next morning. You know
what
I mean?
That was the final gig.
Yeah, that was fucking nuts. That was fucking nuts. Like, honestly, it was just, you couldn't, like, between every single song, it was just fucking ole, ole, ole. You know what I mean? Like, it was deadly. And a lot of people who couldn't get tickets for a Dublin gig went up to Belfast. You know what I mean? Like, you know?
Yeah, people texting me saying that, actually. I couldn't get tickets for the gig tonight and going up to Belfast tomorrow and all. I was like, fucking hell.
My family and all up there as well, so it was nice for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the plan then? Bigger venues for the next one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, if all goes well this year, please God. You know what I mean?
A big old venue in the summer.
Yeah. Viva, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just getting much bigger.
Yeah.
That's decent.
Yeah, it's all right, yeah.
But yes, you're bigger venues then. Have you any gigs coming up then?
I have just the Ed Sheeran tour in America. Yeah, between
just the Sheeran.
Just that one.
Yeah.
That stadium tour.
That stadium tour, yeah.
Okay. So I'm saying, the Aviva, you're probably going to be playing in front of like twice the size of the Aviva in America. You know what I mean? It doesn't get much bigger. No, it actually does. It's 1,000 people in fucking Colorado or something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The Americans don't have ours as stadiums.
Oh, the size of them, man.
They don't take
the American football stadiums.
Yeah.
I mean, nuts.
Yeah. Do you know any of the stadiums that you're playing in? Like, do you not look up like, oh, this one's going to be bleeding? You know what I mean?
There was the one in Nashville called the Nissan Stadium. Foxborough, I don't know if you've ever heard that one. I think that's in Massachusetts. I think I might be playing in New Jersey. I'm not sure. I'm actually, to be honest with you, I don't really look at it. And I just...
You just go on the stage?
I don't look at it until, like, it's a few weeks, until it's a week or two away. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I try not to think about what I'm going to be hearing. Do you know what I mean? I just know I'm going to be in America. I don't know exactly when or where I'm going to be everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But,
Why would you grow up in your head about that if you're thinking about it too early?
I just don't think it's like, fuck. Oh, yeah, I don't know. Look, I just think it's fucking
it's just not
a waste of time.
It's
just
too far away. Like.
Yeah, look, and if I want to think about today and tomorrow, man, you know what I mean? I'm fucking thinking about fucking
fuck Ed Sheeran.
5 months down the line. Yeah.
Yeah. But, so what, you have the Ed Sheeran tour then?
Yeah, so doing that, I will be flying back for like a day or two here and there I'm doing some dates with Dermot in Europe. So doing a few bits with him. I think in Vienna, like Oslo, doing a bit in Germany. And then while I'm on tour with Ed, I'll be doing like Monday to Thursday in the studio and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the road. And I'm only going to be doing one gig a week with Ed because he does Friday, Saturday, Sunday gigs, like, you know what I mean? But I'm just going to do one a week and then I'm going to do my own gig then side by side with, and you know,
hopefully that playing with Ed will help me sell a few tickets and whatever whatever places I'm going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
You know, so yeah, that's the plan. Just going to be flat to the mat now for the next few months, you know?
Yeah. Ed is a bit of a history buff about Ireland as well. Did you ever chat to him about that?
Yeah, he loves. Well, he spent every
summer, yeah.
Every summer down in Gorey, like, you know what I mean?
Did he? Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Nanny's from Wexford.
Yeah. I knew that you had Irish.
His nanny's from Wexford.
On both sides.
Granddad's from Belfast.
Yeah.
His granddad was a Protestant and his mum was a Catholic, and his granddad basically had to run away to Mario. He would have been banished, like.
Oh God!
Yeah, he's mad into his Irish, into his Irish music and like Irish language.
He used to busk over here as well, yeah. Growing up. Pictures of him when he's like 12 busking. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Arden's still good for busking.
Yeah, fuck all that hard. Yeah.
Ring me when you're going to New Jersey. Yeah. No, we were joking there because we were talking about busking and you were like, no, fuck, that's too cold for busking. Yeah,
yeah, it was just I sort of started off playing the pubs and I said, fuck, I went and do a bit of busking, but I just couldn't get into it, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it wasn't for me, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's hard graft. They're morning, noon and night, but they're making a fortune.
They fucking are.
Yeah.
Some of them are. Do you ever see some of the buskers down there? They have proper crowds around.
Yeah. You can't get through the crowd. You have to walk down Bleeding South William Street to get down Grafton Street because the crowd is too big.
But I mean, it's like a proper gig for some of them, like, you know what I mean?
And people do be talking when you're walking in front of the camera and all. I'm like, you shouldn't be stopped.
Yeah. What do you mean, man?
Like, what do you want me to do? It's Grafton Street. We have to walk. Do you know what I mean? People are like, my video. Fuck off, you dope, yeah. Get out of my way.
Arden, have you aren't, you need the plug.
No, I'm all good, yeah. I'm just good to be here, boys. Yeah, no, yeah, I was just happy to be on with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no.
Sorry, I forgot the guitars.
It just means you have to come back in.
I will be back, yeah, 100%.
We'll get you back in at some stage.
Nice one, yeah.
Him and Jim McKenzie sitting there, man, like, we have a gig in Oslo, will you come on?
Yeah, brilliant. No, so Arden Rowe on Instagram, go over, 100%. Follow him, the whole works.
We're looking forward to the album now as well, so. Expect some big things, how you mate?
Yeah. I'll see you when I get back, yeah.
It's a pleasure. It was a pleasure. We all good, boys?
Yep.
Take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
Nice one. No singers, no?
Hang on.
On the boys.
Back on.
The singers going, boys.
Put the mics back on.
Right.
I hope you have one, Arden, yet.
I don't have any. Do I have to bring a singer?
Ah, mate.
It helps, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, if I give you a singer, you have to answer the singer.
Yeah, come on then.
So you're going to answer it?
Yeah.
Right, who was you at a tour with? Ed Sheeran, Dermot Kennedy, Lewis Capaldi.
You're a prick.
I'm going
for the best
of
horse.
The best of horse.
Well, I'll tell you what, I haven't been on tour with Dermot yet, so I'll say Dermot. Okay. That's my political answer, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You asked me out with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you heard a zinger
before? I don't really have any zingers, mate, but like, because you were saying that your favourite song to cover, yeah? What's one Irish song that you wish you wrote? Favourite Irish song, basically, you know what I mean?
I'd say The Town I Love So Well. It was amazing. It's just fucking brilliantly written. Phil Coulter wrote about Derry and how Derry was affected by the Troubles and everything that went on up there. And it's just amazing. It's one of my favourite songs of all time. You know what I mean? I love Raglan Road. I love Ravetton, really, that Luke Kelly sang. You know what I mean? It's too hard to pick. Like, so you can't, your favorite music is always changing all the time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know,
throw DeMonto into your set for us.
Yeah, I love DeMonto.
Yeah,
love DeMonto. Yeah.
That's where I'm from.
Is it?
Yeah, Sean McDermott Street. There's a bit of history for you now.
Because it used to be Montgomery Street, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The biggest red light district in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look up that.
100%.
Siobhan, have you got any there?
I was trying to sting him with the singer and you were like, yeah, what?
I was ready to go home.
I was like, sting that cunt now. I was on the spot. Yeah. Not a zinger.
You want matches kicking off, I'm ready to go home. He's like, yeah, get the zingers out. Play that kick off. Go on.
Yeah, give us one. Give us one.
If you were fighting for a world title in boxing or UFC, what would your walkout song be?
That's a good.
I thought about this. Do you know? Do you ever hear Space Jam? John, bam, 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 bam. What's it all ready for this? You know what I mean? Are you a cracker?
Siobhan, what's wrong with you?
So we'll have to ask that question. He's going to have to answer that again.
We loved it. That's with some sort of energy.
Would you like to walk somebody out for a fight? Would you do it?
It'd have to be Puerto O'Leary or something.
Yeah, it'd have to be. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to. Yeah, I'd love to. In fairness, yeah, like, yeah, it'd have to be the right person. My cousin, Jack Marty, he was in. Yeah, so Jack's my cousin. Yeah, so
drops are in at the end.
If he was having a big fight like that, I'd love to walk him out.
Yeah. But it'd have to be like someone Irish, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Have to be. But
I hear there's a rumor going around, right? That there's going to be a big event in September in Croke Park.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't know if you want to ask somebody who's going to be at that event, if you'd need, like, someone to walk them out. Like,
Katie, give me a show, yeah.
Maybe. I don't, just a word on the street, like, you know what I mean? So, there's one for you.
100%.
Hopefully that's confirmed.
Yeah.
A little boardy told me. A reliable source told me.
Please, God.
No,
yeah.
I heard one or two things, Michelle. That's going to happen.
Yeah.
We could see you there.
Boys, fair play, yeah.
Pleasure. Arden.
Nice one.
We're wrapping this one up.
Actually,
are we sure? Yeah. Are you happy now?
100%.
Yeah. Right, take us out, Siobhan.
Boom.
That's us for this week, and thanks to the legends at Roy Style Furniture for supporting the podcast.
Speaking of great support, see what I did there? Roy Style has everything, and I mean everything. Sofa sorted, beds covered, dining table, 6 chairs, boom. All in one house package. Plus the lads in the store are sound. They're not pushy, just helpful. And if you're an online shopper, no problem.
Visit www.roystyle.ie. And when you shop in store, tell them that the two boys from the podcast sent you and they'll throw you in a little discount.
Don't sleep on this deal, unless it's on one of their mattresses, in which case, fair play.
So get down and get the gaff sorted. Right price, right style, right now.
Subscribe to this podcast for free on the Go Loud app.
What you waiting for? Put your back in it. Just a little more. Throw your weight in it now. Fill your body up. Walk it hard and low. When you finish that.
The hip knocker.
Go down, go down, go down, go down.